Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and you are listening to some thoughts on camp. Part of the idea of camp is that it has to be part of a self-conscious act. There is an element of intentionality. Yet there is another question that comes to the fore. What happens when the viewer does not know if what he or she is looking at is intentionally parodic of conventional notions of taste and gender roles? Let's take a look at Anna Nicole Smith. Was it physically possible for a person to be as drug-addled as she appeared to be? Was she really as obsessed with Marilyn Monroe as she appeared to be? Now, are these questions relevant? Are they related? Well, yes, but let's see. Anna Nicole Smith began as what could be seen as a drag version of Marilyn. Anna Nicole was hypersexualized to the point of caricature, the baby voice, the echoes of Jane Mansfield and others. One of the encoded messages was to beleaguered males, "Yes, we're in this together. Real women are scary. You function best of all when you're with an incapacitated child woman simulacrum and never with a real, living, breathing entity." Or, more to the point, Anna Nicole Smith was an exaggeration of how women construct false personae. The act of construction was foregrounded by the very falseness of the persona. It was an exercise in absurdity. Anna Nicole Smith, though, despite the supersized attributes of femininity, was, in reality, asexual. So what was the value in that? In essence, she deflated the sexual because real contact was not possible. If love is supposed to be about the union and unity leading to transcendence, what Anna Nicole Smith provided was a swift fall to earth. She represented pure bathos, the quick fall to earth, the hard landing, the reminder that we are earthly beings with the capacity to dream. And we smile because we've all fallen to earth at one point or another. The joke's on the cosmos. As we observe the visual allusions that Anna Nicole provided to Hollywood icons as well as Hollywood cliches and false promises, we see that she embodies a parodic act, that of revealing that the Hollywoodized gestures of seduction and the representation of desire are, in point of fact, utterly empty. The image is empty. It is a facade, or, more appropriately, a shell. As for conversation and interaction, it is equally empty. The squeals, the empty cooing, the irrelevant baby talk, these are the antitheses of language that establishes a connection. Further, they are the antithesis of language that has the capacity to create consciousness, truth, or beauty. Essence is not possible in this language. All that is possible is a wink, a nod, and an undermining, deconstructing gaze. The agency is all in our deconstructing gaze. And, well, I have to say, that's what makes it so irresistible to watch camp unfold. So I hope you've enjoyed these thoughts on camp. This is Susan Smith Nash.